You are listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. Happy finals week if you happen to be a student.
And an even happier finals week if you happen to be done.
This is true. And if you are not a student, be happy that it's not finals week for you too. This is Press Start, the only show, radio show, broadcasting live from the Central Coast that discusses everything video game related, gaming industry, gaming news, music, and what have you. Some of the some cool stuff as well. Dave is like the master of cool stuff.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I like stuff.
We will be here till 11 o'clock this morning, as usual, and this is the final show of the year, actually. Final show of 2006, because the next time we will be on the air is January 10th. That is a Wednesday, and that is
true, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So I hope you all had a good 2006, and if you haven't got around to your New Year's resolution that you made 12 months ago, you've got 2 weeks left before 2007 rolls around, and you'll have to make a new one.
I read somewhere somebody was making end-of-year resolutions where they do it for 2 weeks, and then after that, they're done. It's
good,
the new year.
Good plan.
No guilt that way.
No, exactly. And it's more likely to get done.
Yeah, really.
So, this is Press Start, and we do broadcast, if you are a first-time listener, every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. here, live from the Cal Poly studios on campus. To San Luis Obispo and the internet, you can listen online as well. KCPR.org is the website. You can click on Listen Now to stream over the internet. Or if you want to download this show, let's say right now you're just about to walk into work and you want to hear the show, you're interested. Well, you can do that because when you get off work, this show will be waiting for you over on the internet, the website where you can subscribe to the podcast and leave comments. PressStart.TheFighting.org is...
Or you can just blast our show as loud as you want and dance to the intro music. Make yourself memorable for when raises are passed around.
Or when your boss needs to fire someone.
Oh, or that.
Yeah. So that is the website, pressstart.thefighting.org. And you can also email the show if you would like. And we did get an email last week. Thank you, sir.
We got an email.
We got an email. Thank you, Chad, for emailing the show with a music request, which we will get to a little later on. Musically speaking... All of you out there should enjoy it, especially if you're a fan of the Monkey Island games. So, if you would like to be like Chad and send cool emails and have us praise you as the pseudo-lord that you may or may not be, then go ahead and do that. PressStartKCPR@gmail.com. PressStartKCPR@gmail.com. And we welcome all comments, even the most vulgar of things. We may not be able to read it on the air, but we do welcome those comments because at least it tells us you care. Enough to tell us we suck.
Yeah, I always wonder about that. Sites get all this email telling them, hey, you guys are terrible. But, you know, that meant somebody took the time to tell them that.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long to write an email, but, you know, it doesn't take long to opt out of some mailing list, and people don't do that either, so.
All you gotta do is uncheck the little box.
People are lazy, but apparently they'll get up and tell people stuff.
What's important is may not be what's important, but it's important to them.
Yeah.
And I guess that really doesn't make much sense. But in any case... We have got a lot to talk about on this morning's show. A huge amount of cool news last week. And Dave, I know you've got some cool techie stuff for us this morning, which I explored myself, but you're more sort of apt. You have a better aptitude for that kind of thing.
Oh, well, thank you.
So
I just get excited about hacks. And
H4X, not the normal. Not H-A-C-K-S. H4X, hacks.
Isn't that how does that work? Is that like software hacks versus hardware hacks?
I don't know.
I don't speak hacker nor leet.
Okay. Well,
sorry everybody.
So perhaps people will be able to understand you when you're telling them about things.
Well, you can't speak with numbers in your letters. It doesn't work.
On the internet, it does.
Well, sure, because you're typing.
Yes.
But you're not actually speaking. Like it, leet speak makes for terrible radio.
I have so many ideas around that now, but I won't go into them now. We can discuss that after the show. So yes, Dave, you will be talking to us. It has to do with the Wii, and it has to do with the Wiimote and some interesting technological, I don't want to say advancements, but discoveries about what people can do with those pieces of hardware.
There are nerds out there, and they make our games better.
If you build it, they will come.
That's basically what happened. If you build it, they will come to YouTube to watch your video. Anyway, that'll be later on.
So we will get to that. And also, we've got plenty of news, including, if you have not heard, a bomb was dropped by Square Enix this week, earlier this week.
Was it the shape of a Mario block at some kid's school?
No, it wasn't. Although, it distantly speaking and loosely connected, it does relate to Mario.
What?
I don't know if you've heard about this yet, Dave.
No, I don't think I have.
The Square Enix announcement?
Okay,
there's someone on this earth who has not heard this announcement yet, so this is good. This will make for...
I'm spending a lot of time reading up on Wii hacks.
This will make for good radio. So if you haven't heard about this either, stick around because you will be blown away by this announcement. It's been causing repercussions throughout the gaming world, and we will discuss that fairly in depth coming up on the show. In addition to that, I would like to mention that I am going to have some little bit of a hands-on preview with the Rogue Galaxy demo, which I managed to obtain. That's the new level 5 RPG coming out for the PS2.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. I pre-ordered it and I got the demo. Surprisingly, I didn't expect that. So, I'll scratch the surface of what I liked about the game and why it's going to be good. And if you would like a full preview to that, head on over to gamesarefun.com, where you can find my full hands-on with the demo if you want to learn more in-depth about Rogue Galaxy and its game system. Because it's going to be a very, very epic game, and Level 5 has established themselves as a great action RPG developer. So stick around for that. But first, I've got to start where we left off last week, and that is with a review of Yggdre Union for the Game Boy Advance.
That's right. Yeah, we ran out of time for that, because I wouldn't shut up about Jets and Guns, which is still awesome.
Jets and Guns is awesome, and I hope people went and checked out Jets and Guns. And this week, I hope people perhaps go check out Yggdre Union. It's developed by Sting, the same people who did Riviera, The Promised Land. It's a strategy RPG. And it's got a wonderfully beautiful art direction to it. The sprites that are used in this game are all very detailed and animated very well. It's quite beautiful. Possibly the best 2D Game Boy Advance game that's come out, I would dare say.
That says quite a lot. There are a lot of 2D Game Boy Advance games.
Yes, and this one is undeniably pretty. And it's the perfect mix of, if you could imagine an Advance Wars games mixed with an Advance Wars game mixed with an Ogre Battle game. Somehow combine those two into sort of like one large mashup game, and you've got Yggdre Union, in a sense. You move your units around the map, and when you go into battle, it goes to like an Advance Wars, like you've got one side on one, you know, unit of like 5 troops on one side and another unit of 5 troops on the other side of the screen, and they kind of clash and fight.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference here is that they fight until one side is wiped out or not. And
oh, really?
Yes. And so let's say you have a unit of like 5 swordsmen and then a unit of knights. Knights are on horses, so they're bigger, so there's only 3 in a unit. They'll clash at each other and they'll fight, and then once the battle's over, whoever wins or whoever loses unit morale, which is basically the same as HP, and that's how you eliminate units, by defeating them in these skirmishes.
So every time 2 units clash, one of them is going down.
Yes.
And is going all the way down.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Well, it's not, but they're not going to die. That's the thing. The units that are in the battle may die and you know, go. But when the battle is done, there's a calculation based on, before the map starts, you pick a card that has an attack power.
Mm-hmm.
And after you win, that attack power is applied to the unit's morale. So if your attack power on your card is, like, let's say 1,000 and the unit's morale is 1,000, then, or 2,000, the unit's morale is 2,000, then when you win, it'll only go down, their morale will go down by 1,000 because that's the power of the card. So that unit, even though they were defeated, will still be alive because they have 1,000 more morale left.
It'll be alive at the end of the battle?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was going to say, how long do these battles go? In games like Advance Wars and things like that, you know,
yeah,
it's all about rushing in and, you know, doing some calculated attrition. But if you're going to have a unit taken off the map after each battle, I suspect it would go fast unless you had a million units.
Yeah, units don't get taken off the battle when they lose. They just lose morale, which is the same as HP. So HP isn't like... you know, hits, or there's no attack power. I mean, there is, but it's not in the traditional sense. So when a unit loses a battle, it loses morale. And once the morale is completely taken to 0, then the unit is gone and lost.
Oh, so the units don't disappear after each battle.
Right, exactly.
Okay, I see.
And it's very cool because during battle, it's active. It's not just like you watch, like in Advance Wars. You can choose to press the attack and be aggressive, and that will raise your attack power, but it will lower your special meter. Or you can choose to be passive, and you won't do as much damage, but it'll raise your special bar, so you can use, like, a skill or or a magic spell or things like that.
When you said that, I imagined Inodama yelling, "Press forward!"
Yeah, it is kind of like that, because the characters do talk during battle at each other. The leaders of the units, they kind of talk back and forth. It's a really interesting game system. There's a lot of new additions to the strategy RPG genre in this. They've added a lot of unconventional things, and so it feels fresh. It's like a new take on a strategy RPG.
Oh, good.
It's a very interesting game. And the other cool thing is that you can only attack once per your turn with, you know, like you can't attack with each unit. You can only attack once out of all your units.
Oh,
and
really?
So where the strategy comes in this game is that each unit has an attacking range where if your allies are in that range, for example, females make a cross pattern, so two squares to the right, left, and up and down. Mm-hmm. If you have an ally in that range, they will attack with you in the battle. So by strategically positioning your teammates, you can actually in the battle you can actually include more than one unit.
Oh, I see. So you only give one unit command, but anybody that they can rally goes with them.
Exactly.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know
really
how realistic
neat.
It is, but I don't know if I care. That's cool.
It is really neat. And it makes for a lot of strategy, especially when you consider there's like a rock, paper, scissors system going on with the different weapons, like, you know, axes beat spears, spears beat swords, swords beat axes. And so depending on like who is positioned where and who you're fighting and how the enemy has their allies in the rally position will determine like how successful you'll be in battle. So there's a lot of deep strategy involved in this game. If I have to knock it, I would have to knock it for it being unforgivably hard. The game, it starts out easily enough, and it slowly introduces the concepts, which is a positive, but it winds up, I mean, once you get into the real heart of the game puts you in some tough, tough situations that are, they seem impossible to get out of. And I will say this right off the bat, you will have to retry. You will have to retry some maps because it requires a perfect execution of strategy. And a perfect implementation of being aggressive, being passive, using skills, or going for a wipeout attack and things of that nature. It's not for everyone, and strategy RPGs are a niche genre anyways. So I can't recommend it to everyone. But if you like Advance Wars, if you like Ogre Battle, if you like Fire Emblem, then you'll probably like this game. But it is hard. It is extremely hard.
Is it Japanese?
It is Japanese.
Go figure.
Yeah.
They don't make easy games over there. What are they thinking?
I don't know. I don't know. The American, I'm getting quite tired of games that are impossible. I don't want to have to replay a game over and over because it's hard just to find the right way to do it. I want a cool experience.
Yeah, that's interesting because back when we started playing games on the NES or before, you know, we didn't get experiences so much as we got things we had to play over and over again.
Yeah.
It was like a toy that you just sat there and played with. And you didn't really care if you advanced necessarily.
It's interesting how it's evolved that way. I mean, you look at a game like, I'll use Shadow of the Colossus as an example. It's not terribly hard. It's, you know, some parts it is a little bit, but it's more about the experience. And you look at a game like Eidry Union, it's more about the strategy and being hard and replaying it over and over. So,
gotcha.
But I will recommend if you like strategy RPGs, it is an Atlas game and it is an end of life cycle Game Boy Advance game. So it probably will be difficult to find if you don't go pick up a copy relatively soon. But, you know, good luck to you and it's a beautiful game to look at.
You know, I wonder about that. We want game experiences now. I was just thinking when you said that. Is that just because our tastes have matured or is it just because we're jaded now? Or is it just because those games didn't exist back then?
I think it's probably because those games didn't exist back then, and so the potentiality was there and no one realized it, and slowly we've realized the potential that games can have, and so now there's just something so different between like getting a score on like a high score on a pinball game and completing Gears of War and, you know, having gone through all those like epic trials and tribulations that you go through to get to the end and see the story and things like that.
Epic trials, no pun intended.
Because it's made by Epic Games.
I get it.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know. Get it. I was... Okay.
Okay, well, interesting.
Yes. All right, so that's Eidry Union. Hopefully, if you pick up the game, you'll send an email, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com, and let us know what you think about it, because we'd always like to hear feedback from you.
Honestly, if you want to record an audio review of a game,
yeah,
send it in. We'll probably play it.
Yeah, yeah. MP3 format. Record, you know, if you want to do what I just did.
Well, even if we run out of time, you know, we do have a website. We do have a podcast. We can push stuff up whenever we want.
Yeah, so. I encourage that. If you want to do an audio review yourself, I would not mind in the least. And if it's good, you know, we'll put it on the show.
Yeah. We like it anyway.
Yeah. All right, that's last week's continuation into this week, and so we're done with that. And when we come back from this music break, we'll jump right into the news and Dave's cool gizmo stuff.
All right.
And this was requested by one of our loyal listeners, who may be the only loyal listener, who knows. It is from Curse of Monkey Island, and the song is called A Pirate I Was Meant to Be.
We're a band of vicious pirates,
a sailing out to sea.
When you hear our gentle singing,
you'll be sure to turn and flee.
Oh, this is just ridiculous.
Come on, men. We've got to recover that map.
That pirate will be done for when he falls into our trap.
We're a club attuned for rovers.
We can sing in every clef.
We can even hit the high notes.
It's just too bad we're tuned deaf.
A pirate I was meant to be. Trim the sails and roam the sea.
Let's go defeat that evil pirate. We know he's sure to lose, cause we know just where to fire it.
We're thieving balladeers.
A gang of cutthroat mugs.
To fight us off, you won't need guns.
Just jolly good earplugs.
The pirate I was meant to be. Trim the sails and roam the sea.
Crew, let's get to work.
Our vocation's a thing we love, a thing we'd never shirk.
We'll fight you in the harbor.
We'll battle you on land.
But when you meet singing pirates,
there'll be more than you can stand.
Oh, that was a good one.
No, it wasn't. Song, we got to move.
The battle will be long, but our courage we will prove.
We're a pack of scurvy sea dogs.
Have we pity, not a dram.
We all eat roasted garlic.
Then sing from the diaphragm.
A pirate I was meant to be. Trim the sails and roam the sea.
Singing, more sailing.
When we defeat our wicked foe, his ship he will be bailing.
If you try to fight us,
you will get a nasty whacking.
If you disrespect our singing,
we will feed you to a kraken.
A pirate I was meant to be. Trim the sails and roam the sea.
Getting so sick of you guys and your rhyming.
We're ready to set sail, though the cannons need a priming.
We're troublesome corsairs,
and we come to steal your treasures.
We would shoot you on the downbeat,
but we gotta rest by measures.
A pirate I was meant to be. Trim the sails and roam the sea.
And the deck is what we'll mop.
You say you're nasty pirates, steaming, thieving, babbush whackers. From what I've seen, I tell you, you're not pirates, you're just slackers.
A pirate I was meant to be. Trim the sails and roam the sea.
We'll surely avoid scurvy if we all eat an orange.
And,
well, door hinge?
No, no.
Guess the song's over then.
Guess so.
Okay, back to work.
Well, gee, I feel a little guilty now.
All You are listening to Press Start on KCPR San Luis Obispo, 91.3 FM. I was about to give a little pirate arg right there after the song because I'm feeling it. That was from Curse of Monkey Island and the song Pirate, I Was Meant to Be.
If you haven't played that game, you all should. That song's actually a puzzle in that game.
And if you haven't played the game after, I mean, if you don't want to play the game after listening to that song, you're not human. Who doesn't want to do that?
It's a pretty clever game, I have to say. I really liked it. There's two sets of puzzles. It's an adventure game with replay value.
Imagine that.
I know. Nobody ever does that.
Yeah.
Apparently didn't. Nobody cared because nobody's done it since.
Which is unfortunate.
That game's like 1998, isn't it?
Monkey Island?
Yeah.
I
Good Lord, we're old. That's 8 years ago.
My 401k should be finishing up pretty soon.
I'm old. Oh, my gosh. This occurred to me when a friend of mine and I, who friend just bought Egg Reunion, actually, we were talking about video games and anime and when we were playing things, and we realized that a lot of what we were doing was in the mid-90s, and that was 10 years ago.
Yeah. What? Since when is 1998, like, almost 10 years ago? It doesn't seem that long ago. 98? Come on. Oh, man. I know what they say now, where, you know, the life just kind of flies by. 98 was almost 10 years ago.
Think about playing games and everything, it seems like the time has just gone right by. But I think about going to school and trying to get a degree and doing all that homework, it feels like I've been here for 20 years.
Yeah, I agree. The key, do something you like, and you will die sooner.
And don't do your homework.
All right.
I don't officially endorse not doing your homework. Press Start, KCPR does not officially endorse any sort of slackery in school.
Not valid in Rhode Island, California, or Hawaii.
Yeah, those places you can slack all you want.
All right, let's talk about this absolute huge announcement from Square Enix, shall we?
Oh, yeah, I want to hear this.
Okay, so there's been a lot of speculation. Well, first of all, let's do a little pop quiz.
Pop quiz.
For you, Dave. In Japan, largest gaming name / franchise in the entire country.
In the entire country is going to be Mario or Final Fantasy. No. It's going to be Dragon Quest as big as Final Fantasy.
It is going to be Dragon Quest, and that is exactly what this has to do with. There's a lot of speculation on, you know, we had Dragon Quest VIII for the PS2 come out last year. Well, where was Dragon Quest IX going to be? We've got the advent of a new generation of consoles. There was a lot of rumor that maybe Dragon Quest IX, the biggest game in Japan that would come out on the Wii, perhaps. There were some rumors about that. Other people thought, well, with the PS3 hardware, they might be able to, you know, make a Dragon Quest game that was so visually impressive, like you've never seen anything like it before.
The most jaw-dropping cartoons you've ever seen.
Exactly. And some people thought that perhaps they would go to Square Enix might put Dragon Quest on the 360 since Sakaguchi's got Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey on that. You know, that was sort of an outside hope. What nobody expected was for Square Enix to put Dragon Quest IX, the actual, not a spin-off, the actual next Dragon Quest game on the Nintendo DS. And that is just what they did. Dragon Quest IX is coming out for the Nintendo DS, and get this, it's coming out in the middle of 2007, which means probably in 5 or 6 months out in Japan, it's coming out in Japan for the Nintendo DS.
Huh, well.
This was absolutely shocking. This is the... some people consider it a step backwards because, you know, the DS is nowhere near as powerful as the PS2. So you're going to maybe, you know, people are thinking that maybe they're going to go back to the style that was found in Dragon Quest VII, which is sort of that hybrid 2D, 3D look. And for the most part, they're right because when the screenshots came out, you've got like a cel-shaded... It looks like in a more advanced version of Dragon Quest VII. It is fully 3D, but it's cel-shaded like Dragon Quest VIII was. And everything's got sort of a more cartoony look to it, even more than Dragon Quest VIII. So it's an interesting hybrid of styles.
Wow, that's...
It looks pretty good in motion, cool. I've got to say. It is cool. What's even more amazing is that, you know, you look at Dragon Quest. It's a game that's been around for, you know, almost 20 years now. And it hasn't changed, really, in those 20 years. Dragon Quest VIII was pretty much the exact same gameplay style as Dragon Quest I, with some alterations here and there.
I've been playing Dragon Quest I on the GBA, actually.
Well, get ready to relearn how to play Dragon Quest, because Dragon Quest IX is changing things up in a huge way. It's going to be an action RPG. No more turn-based battles, no more random battles. Enemies will be visible on screen, and it's going to be action-based. It's going to have a four-player cooperative mode using the DS wireless communication so you can play together. Multiplayer. First, you know.
Right.
And It's going to have a single. The single player mode is also going to be fairly in depth. That's what they've said. They can't, you know, they said it wouldn't be a Dragon Quest game without having a, you know, a good single player experience.
Oh, serious.
The other interesting thing about this is that the team that did Dragon Quest VIII from Level 5 and from Square Enix, including Yuji Horii and Akira Toriyama, is also doing the art. They're all coming back for this one. So Level 5 gets another crack at the Dragon Quest universe, and that's exciting because Dragon Quest VIII was utterly phenomenal. So,
oh, wow, that the deal. You know, that's funny because when you said which system is it going to come out on, I was sitting there thinking, well, which one's going to have the greatest installed base in Japan?
And that
never would have occurred to me. Sure, the DS has the biggest installed base, duh.
Yeah, and if that's what Square Enix has been saying, specifically the Dragon Quest team, is that Dragon Quest will always come out on the system with the biggest user base. Well, right now, the DS in Japan is selling like it's like giving away free money to people. They are just so eager to get a DS. So Nintendo's having production problems. Now, after this announcement, I can't even begin to imagine the biggest game in Japan, Dragon Quest, coming to the biggest system in Japan, the Nintendo DS, is just utter pandemonium.
I heard somewhere that in the Japanese Constitution, Enix is not allowed to release a Dragon Quest game on a school day because all the kids will skip school to get it.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and I don't know if that's like a rumor or if it's like partially true or if it's actually true. I'm not sure about that. I don't think it's actually true, but
pretty fun rumor.
Yeah, that is cool. And it is, you know, people take off work. It's like when Halo 2 came out a couple years ago. You know, people were like standing in line for 5 days and taking off work.
I know a guy who skipped work to play Halo.
Yeah, to get Halo 2. That's what Dragon Quest is like on a scale of like 5 million people in Japan. So this is a huge announcement, and this also may be the death knell for the PlayStation Portable because it was already struggling over there, and now, now you've got Dragon Quest. There's this may be the final nail in the PSP's coffin. Over,
maybe it'll finally come down in price, so I can get one.
That would be nice.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah,
I want one. I just don't want one enough to justify that price.
No, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. And there's also no like must-have games, really.
There are a couple would like to have games. I mean,
yeah, would like
no
to
game
have.
Is really a must have because they're elaborate toys, and you know when you get right down to it, and there's things that are more important. But you know, it's just, there's no game that I would say, gosh, this would sway me towards that system. The DS has all sorts of games. Like I have a stack of DS games that I just realized was almost 2 feet tall.
They haven't played?
I've played through most of them.
Yeah, okay, good.
Not through most of them, but I've played most of them because I like buying stuff, you know, used and cheap, but. Didn't realize how tall this stack had gotten, and I realized in PSP games, there's like three I really want to play.
Yeah, same
Valkyrie
here.
Profile, some
Luminous.
Luminous, the Genesis Collection, and the EA Collection. You know, two of which are collections of old games.
Yeah, see, so it's, yeah, there's not really any original kind of, you know.
A system that plays emulators properly. That's what I really want.
Well, and there is some interesting news about the PSP and an announcement Square Enix made about that that's kind of been overshadowed by this Dragon Quest announcement. So if you're a Dragon Quest fan and you have been sort of not wanting to get a DS because you don't like it, it looks like this may be either your time to quit following Dragon Quest or to get a DS because the two have come into a wonderful relationship with one another. And if they bring Dragon Quest IX over to the States, which I'm sure they probably will, I have my prediction is that we'll probably see it by the end of next year once they get all the localization done. So, huge announcements. Dragon Quest IX, Nintendo DS, they're coming together. Now, the other piece of news that I did mention about the PSP and Square Enix is that Square Enix has announced, well, they haven't announced, but there are some scans from the new Shonen Jump magazine in Japan that show that Square Enix is bringing out Final Fantasy Tactics to the PlayStation Portable. But it's not just a straight port. They're actually adding two new job classes. They're adding some FMV cutscenes and some bonus content of the original Final Fantasy Tactics, which came out on the PlayStation 1. So that's coming to the PlayStation Portable. So if you like strategy RPGs or are a big fan of Tactics, that game should make you happy.
Well, I understand PSP people are, what with the Killzone game being third person and both of the Metal Gear Acid games.
Right. So they're sort of compiling, Square Enix is, they're compiling some a collection they're calling the Evilise Alliance. Since FF12 takes place in Evilise, you've got FF Tactics Advance, and then Final Fantasy Tactics also took place in Evilise. Now they're porting Final Fantasy Tactics with some bonus content to the PSP, and there's also rumors that there may be a new Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. sequel. No word on what system that would be coming out for, but it was also mentioned in that same section with the Final Fantasy Tactics port.
Nice.
So interesting stuff Square Enix has going on. Now, as far as Nintendo goes, the Nintendo side of the equation, Zelda the Phantom Hourglass for the Nintendo DS got pushed back, got delayed, and that is nothing new. Zelda games, a Zelda game will never come out without being delayed.
Yeah, that really is kind of how it goes, isn't
yep.
it?
That is how it goes. And this one, it was supposed to come out early next year. Now they're saying it may be October that this game comes out. And I think the reason for the delay is that they're retooling some of the control elements because, as you may or may not know, in this new one, you controlled Link all with the touchscreen. Everything
oh,
in the
really?
Game was touchscreen-oriented. It felt pretty good at E3. I liked it. But apparently there was some dissatisfaction with it, so they are rumored to have been going back and touching up some stuff with that.
Wow.
And this one should make you happy, Dave.
I know this one. I'm not so sure.
No?
But
I thought you were excited for this game.
Oh, I'm excited for this game. I just don't know about the platform.
Okay. Well, the story is Age of Conan, which is the new Conan-based massively multiplayer online game that would take place in the universe of the Conan literature and movies, is coming. It was for the PC, and now the developers gotten the green light to go for it with the Xbox 360.
And that might be awesome. It also might not. When an MMO gets ported to a console, a lot of times you get people complaining that one platform is going to be better than the other. Now, most people generally agree the computer scheme of controls is more intelligent or better than a console, just because there's more buttons, more switches, things like that. You have a mouse. So they're either going to dumb down the control scheme so you can play it on the console the same way, or they're going to have to do something weird to the console release to make it work with the PC people. I'm honestly hoping they do it the way they said they were going to do it the whole time and then make the 360 people, you know, make them buy a USB keyboard for $10 because it'll work with the 360 or a mouse, and you know then let those people play. But I don't know. I'm not sure. On the one hand, I was going to buy a new computer to play Age of Conan. On the other hand,
you already own an Xbox.
I already own a 360.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, I know you were hyped for the game. I know you were
really
excited.
Looking forward to this game.
What about this game, let's say, stands out to you more than any other of the multiple endless MMOs that are out there?
Sure. I'm on a Viking kick right now. I think Vikings are the awesomest mythology for games right now. And one of the first stories in Conan takes place up in the frozen north. So I read it in the comics and decided I really liked Conan. So I've been reading the rest of the comics and just getting into the world and the character. So the setting absolutely appealed to me. Then I found out the two out of my three roommates are also absolutely excited about the game for its gameplay aspect. So they talked to me about it, and it's going to be kind of like Phantasy Star Online. It's got an action element to it. Like if you're an archer, you have to aim. You have to, you know,
imagine
arch.
That. Imagine
you don't queue up attacks on the enemy.
You have to arch.
At all the you do. You arch. You have to point at stuff. You fire the arrow. If you point at the sky, it's gonna shoot into the sky. I don't care where you have targeted. So there's a definite skill element. The game is beautiful. The animations are incredible. And
the textures are pretty nice, too.
Textures are great. The game is single player for the first 20 levels. By the time you're in the multiplayer world, your character is supposed to be pretty amazing and have some renown in the world. Renown.
That's pretty interesting.
I can never pronounce that word.
Renown?
Renown.
Yes.
I screw that one up all the time. My level isn't high enough.
Speaking level must get higher. It it does sound pretty cool, and the textures look nice, as I said. And so I hope you'll keep us up to date on that game.
Oh yeah.
All right. Good.
I think it's going to be great.
The other Microsoft oriented news is yesterday, Microsoft unleashed upon the community XNA Game Studio Express
and the XNA Creators Club
which is software and tools for your computer that allow you to code your own games. And if you get the Creators Club, you can actually cross-compile to 360 and, you know, make your own 360 games. And how cool is that?
This is for all of you guys on message boards everywhere who get together with your friends. And you're like, hey, guys, let's make game. Where game is spelled G-A-E-M. Shut up and make something. Then we'll listen to you.
Yes. And now this is your opportunity. Microsoft is giving you control to make your own game from the ground up, and they've got some cool tools to help you out. And if you subscribe to the Creators Club, you can they give you some assets and other types of things, little advice from industry veterans.
I'm excited about this. I downloaded the XNA framework, this Visual C-sharp Express Edition, which is it's their program for programming in the C-sharp language. It is free, which is awesome. The DirectX software development kit is free, which is awesome. And the XNA framework is free, which is awesome. Beforehand, if you wanted to code stuff like that, you had to buy a $100 suite of software, and that was at the educational price. Nowadays, if you don't mind coding in C-sharp, anybody can get in on it. If you then buy the Creators Club membership, which is, I think it's $50 for 4 months or $100 for a year, you can cross-compile it to the 360 and send it over. You can send your programs to other Creators Club members who can then play it on their 360s, which is awesome.
That is really awesome.
It's just great.
Microsoft has opened the door to an amateur, actual legitimate amateur development company.
And it's not amateur in the sense of doesn't know anything. It's amateur in the sense of is not being paid for it.
Yes, it's people who aren't professionals. That's not their job. They do it for fun.
We're not interested in people who just like want to slap together a game using the equivalent of Click and Play or Game Maker or something like that. These are people. They want people to join the Microsoft Developers Network, read their articles, read the documentation, read their tutorials, things like that. They want people to learn to program and learn what goes into making games. Because this, I think, for them, is going to promote the next generation of small-time game developers. Xbox Live Arcade is a big deal right now. If you make an awesome game, they probably reserve the right to either copy your idea, which is good for them, good for you if it gets promoted, not so good for you.
If you don't get paid.
Don't get paid, whatever. That's a risk you take anytime you sign up for something like this. Or, like what happened with the Counter-Strike people, maybe they'll just hire you if you're clearly that good.
Yeah, and you look at a game like Geometry Wars that just kind of it was very unknown, and then all of a sudden it just exploded onto the scene.
It was a mini game in Project Gotham Racing at first, and then it became the biggest Xbox Live Arcade game for several months.
Yeah, and this is a really cool way because oftentimes some of the most fun little pick up and play games are designed by amateurs or people who aren't paid, non-professionals, who do it for fun in their own time.
Oh, now that I've got some time on my hands, I would like to start a segment on here talking about free games, but I'll get that all figured out first, but I think free games and independent development is just great. Guns game was an indie game.
You're sort of big into the whole indie development scene.
Oh, I think it's great. I think anytime someone gets together and does something they think is cool for its own sake is just that's where all the neatest stuff comes from.
So check it out. You can download, it's free, as Dave said, the XNA architecture, and the website for that, it's a long URL. It's at the Microsoft website.
Microsoft.com/XNA/...
It's Microsoft.com/DirectX/XNA/something else.
Oh, I think it redirects to that.
Does it?
I think Microsoft.com/XNA will take you there.
That should work. Or if you want the actual link itself, head on over to GamesAreFun.com where the article is still on the front page. It's about halfway down. The link is there and you can get more info on it.
I'm very excited.
If you would like. Dave's excited.
Now, here's the problem, though. I don't think my video card supports the shaders and stuff that they need for some of their demo code, so...
Time to get a new computer!
Time to get a new computer! I can play Age of Conan with it too, huh?
There you go. Perfect. See? Dual purpose. The other thing is about XNA is you need to know how to code in C#. So if you don't know how, you probably should start learning.
Oh, read their tutorials. They've got them.
Read the tutorials. That works as well.
I don't know how good they are, but I've been following one of them just a little bit while I was studying, and it looked promising.
As far as I understand it, C# isn't that much different from C++ or C.
It's an object-oriented language with a lot of things like automatic garbage collections designed with developer productivity in mind, which means the runtime's a little bit slower, so it's a little bit more like Java, but it's certainly viable for game development.
You had me at garbage collection, Dave. You had me at garbage collection.
If you know what that means, then this should probably
interest
you.
I have no idea what that means.
It's a memory management trick. Don't worry.
My knowledge of C# goes no further than the name that I know that it's the name of the
coding
language.
Oh, no, I just recited the spiel just now that I read off Microsoft's page last night. No, don't think I know that much more about it. I fully
intend
to learn.
Folks, we have no idea what we're talking about. We just hope that you do.
This is great radio.
All right.
Seriously, though, if I can learn it, any of you guys can learn it. I am not that smart.
That's not true. You are definitely a lot
You're
further down the ladder than worse than smart,
defeating.
Okay? Let me tell you.
All right, fair enough.
All right.
How do I take that?
I don't know. Let's just move on.
Start PCPR. Tell me what I should do to Justin in retaliation.
All right. And finally, on the MMO side of things, and our last little news story for the day, Firefly. Remember that show Firefly?
I do. I saw about half of it.
I didn't see any of it. In fact, I didn't really know what Firefly was till it was already canceled.
Well, it's great.
I hear it's great. It was a TV show, sci-fi TV show. It came on Fox like a couple years ago. There apparently people have been wanting it to come back. People loved it. There's like a rabid fan base. And now it is coming back, but not as a TV show. It's coming back as an MMORPG, which to some fans may be not a good thing. To others, it may be a great thing. But it's being developed by Multiverse.
I think it should... I think we should look at what Multiverse has done beforehand before we decide whether this is a good idea or not.
Okay.
No, seriously, an MMO is going to be only as good as the people putting it together. World of Warcraft is great because Blizzard knows their stuff and gets it together. Star Wars Galaxies was great for a while, then most people decided it was terrible because Sony's customer support and Sony's way of dealing with the world and players, like teleporting them into space, didn't go over that well with the fan base.
I don't understand that. Teleporting people into space is probably like the coolest thing ever.
If that was a move, that was a move players had, that would be pretty cool.
Teleporting people into space is just wonderful.
But yeah, so, you know, I think the idea of a Firefly MMO is great. The world is rich, amazing. It lets you swear because it's all done in Chinese, so you can yell it over the radio. It could be really cool.
It could be, or it could be utter ridiculousness. But who knows what's going to happen with that. And if you like Firefly, it might interest you.
I do like Firefly. I'd love to see where it goes. I mean, you know, Age of Conan hooked me with some of the gameplay tricks. But most importantly, Age of Conan hooked me because it hooked my friends. And so I suspect, regardless of how the game is, if it's good enough to attract people you know, it's good enough for you to enjoy.
That works.
That seems to be how MMOs go.
Yeah, and of course, no, it's going to be hard to dethrone WoW as the king of MMOs.
You know, I don't think they should be trying to dethrone it.
No, I don't think they are either, but...
I think second place makes you a lot of money.
Yeah, or even third or fourth with the amount of people. There was like 5 million people play World of Warcraft.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just like if you don't spend all the money trying to depose WoW, and then you get a whole bunch of subscribers for being good on a budget, you can make a whole lot more money back. It'll be profitable to you, then your game continues because it's better for the players.
Well said, well said. All right, we're going to take one last music break, and when we come back, Dave has got tech stuff about the Wiimote, the Nintendo Wii and cool hacks and things of that nature. And I'll say a couple things about Rogue Galaxy for the PlayStation 2 based on the demo I played.
Sounds good.
In the meantime, let's do a little bit of classic 16-bit RPG tunage with Frog's theme from Chrono Trigger.
Oh, I remember this. We'll be right back.
Frog's theme, done in a couple of different ways. One was the 16-bit chiptune Chrono Trigger version, and that last thing, song you heard, which was a remix of that, Grey Lightning was the artist, and Sacratus Bellator was the song. Figured I would play both of them in a row since it, you know, kind of nice to go from lo-fi to hi-fi. I don't know, it was interesting. Anyways,
that was pretty cool.
Anyways, you know, we got about 10, 15 minutes here. Let's talk about what you want to say, Dave.
Okay,
this is
well,
your time.
My time. So, the Nintendo Wii has come out, and I said on this show a couple of weeks ago that that machine just excites my inner nerd. Some of us may argue about how inner that is. But I wanted to see what sort of hacks and tweaks I could find with the system, what I could make the controller do, what ways I could make it sense things. And
you were giddy with the possibilities.
Oh, seriously. And it turns out I'm not the only one. It seems like the entire rest of the internet is now interested in game controllers the same way I am, which is great. It means I'm no longer, you know,
maybe you died and
a beautiful and unique snowflake. But, you know, it's by the same token, it's cool to see what other people come up with because I only have so much time and, you know, it's other people out there are smarter than I am. So the Nintendo Wii has turned into this hotbed for people wanting to do hardware hacks. And this stems largely from the fact that people are smart and break things. The Nintendo's little Wiimotes connect to the system using a Bluetooth signal. And some of you might be familiar with Bluetooth from your cell phones or PDAs or, you know, other stuff like that. The Wiimotes are Bluetooth to the Wii, and it is totally unsecured. It's wide open. Any Bluetooth device can just read the signal and figure out what it's doing. So it took probably 10 minutes before somebody hooked it up to one of their computers and got it synchronizing there. A few days later, someone had written a driver so they could read the accelerometers and they could read, I think last week, somebody figured out how to make it read the positions of where it is relative to the sensor bar. You can't plug a sensor bar into the computer, but some people weeks ago found out that you could use two mag lights or do candles or something like that.
Or Christmas lights.
Yeah, Christmas lights. You can make your own sensor bar, just no trouble at all.
Anything that puts out infrared basically will be picked up.
We pointed our TV remote control into the Wiimote and stuck it on the little calibration screen. Sure enough, we saw the little light going. It was great. So the people have just done all sorts of things. I have a small list here. One guy in Japan took a Nintendo Power Glove and ripped apart the innards of the glove and cut out the A and – which buttons are those? The pull trigger and the top button. I think they're A and B on the Wiimote. I don't know the numbers or letters. See, I really don't know them. I thought they were numbers. So he did the same thing you do when you tweak joysticks to – you know, you want to build joysticks out of PlayStation controllers. He wired those controls into the controls on his Power Glove. So he has this glove with this Wii strapped to the top of it, or this Wiimote. And he's pointing it at the screen. He clicks his thumb in and it fires. He's in Japan, so he's playing Wii Play. So he's pointing at ducks with his forearm and, you know.
It's like a Mega Man simulator.
It looks like he's shooting the Mega Buster.
Waterfowl.
And it's blasting these ducks. And he's having a great time with this. It took 8 posts on the YouTube video before somebody said, "It's so bad." Have you seen that movie?
No.
Oh. Go see that movie.
What movie?
It's The Wizard.
Oh, The Wizard.
Featuring the Power Glove.
Right. The Power Glove was an actor in The Wizard.
It's so bad.
Did the
That's
power
a line
glove
from the movie.
Yeah, I understand that
okay.
now. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so, you know, it seems to be the new thing on the internet is if you do something cool, you get 10 minutes of fame on YouTube, and then everybody's done when something newer and shinier comes out. And that's, precisely what happened. Several people have gotten together from a mailing list online that was oriented around what was called the P5 glove from Essential Reality. What this was a glove that used infrared sensors to read its position in six-dimensional space, yaw, pitch, roll, X, Y, Z. Those astute among you will recognize that this is precisely what the Wiimote does. And, of course, this glove has been out for 2 years now, so people have had some time to tweak with it. And the software that they wrote to work with the glove in Windows works very well with the Wiimote, so people have been writing scripts to let it play games, do things like that. One guy took one of these scripts, plugged in his Wiimote to his computer with the Bluetooth sync, and wrote a program that, when key presses are executed, plays drum sounds. Then he assigned each key press to a button on the Wiimote. So you can see it in this video. It's great. He pushes the A button. He swings it, and it goes pop. And he grabs the B button, swings it, and it goes doom. He starts alternating. You know, doom, pop, doom, doom, pop. And the guy's just waving this thing around in the air.
So it's kind of like air drums. That actually works.
Just like air drums. It actually works really well the way he's doing it. His the timing is pretty quick. The position in space doesn't matter at all. So if you wave it up in the air and snap it back, it's the same as waving it down low and snapping it back. It'll still make the same noises. And if you get two of those things going, theoretically, you could play a virtual set with some ease. I say some because you have to switch around the different buttons, and that actually looked kind of hard to do.
That's pretty interesting.
But it was cool to see what he's done. Some people have plugged these things into NES emulators where you hold it sideways like you're playing the virtual console. But then if you swing the thing left and right, it steers left and right. Or you can set that up to be analog. One guy was playing Rad Racer. A couple of people were playing Genesis games where you had the three buttons. So two buttons would be, you know, A and B, and then the next button would be shaking the controller. People have just gone all sorts of craziness with this. And let's see. I think that's about it for controller hacking. The number one complaint that I heard about the Wii, though, like of all the things people could complain about, the light didn't turn on all the time. People wanted that little light that goes off when you get a new message to be controllable. Well, sure enough, you buy a chip from Radio Shack or something like that. You go home, you wire it into your Wii, and you can control the light all you want.
Wonderful!
I don't know the details of this, but I know it's been done. So Wii hacks are awesome, and the people who do them are awesome. And this sort of thing needs to go on more often. I think this is all totally cool. I want to rip the nunchuck apart and see what sort of glove I can make out of that, because then you have alternate controllers that plug into the Wiimote.
So, this could get out of hand and really crazy really
quickly. Get way out of hand. I'm going to strap this thing to my legs or, you know, my elbows or something like that. My hands aren't going to have anything to do with this. I built a hat once that used a gyroscopic mouse to read your head's position in space, kind of like the Wiimote. Think of strapping a Wiimote to your head and using it to turn around and control a camera in MechWarrior. It worked really well.
I can't wait for the Wii games that will actually force you to strap a Wiimote to your... You know, you get like a party hat with that little elastic band and like stick the...
You cut the Wiimote under your chin.
Yeah.
Put the band tied to it. That actually worked relatively well.
Yeah, and you know, you duct tape to your arms and legs and, you know, you could do... If you do cartwheels, it reads...
I can't wait to see a martial arts game that gets a bunch of people sued. Did you see that newscast where they were talking about how the Wiimote's going to break everything because their newscaster couldn't keep a hold of it? And because, sure, you have a big strap that's held on by a little strap. And they said, it's just like a little thread. That thing's going to break. We tried swinging those things around about as hard as we could. We couldn't get those things to break.
Yeah, I saw the video of the guy who did an overhand serve in tennis in Wii Sports and ended up, like, putting his Wiimote through a table. Because he followed
through a table?
He followed through a little too hard.
There's a site there out there called We Have a Problem that just talks about all the broken things people have done. Now, half of these look fake. Like, there's one where the Wiimote is stuck sideways into a TV. And I just don't think that's terribly likely.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
But so hacking the Wii is awesome, and I'd like to see more of this sort of thing. When the Wiimotes and the nunchucks become more prevalent, I'm going to buy a couple extras and rip them apart and see what I can do. The accelerometers, it turns out, are not, in fact, gyroscopes. They're silicon and that flex under motion, change the voltage. So they're extremely small, which means we can mount them on other stuff.
Very cool.
So I'll get back to you guys if I ever do anything cool.
All right. Real quick before the end of the show, Rogue Galaxy. Let's talk about Rogue Galaxy. It's by Level 5, who, as you know, did Dragon Quest 8, did Dragon Quest 9, or is doing Dragon Quest 9, and did Dark Cloud and Dark Cloud 2. Very talented. Rogue Galaxy is the story. It's sort of a space pirate epic, and it's an action RPG. It's really cool. The art style... When I popped in the demo, Dave, what's my favorite game of all time?
I have no idea. It changes every few weeks. It was Shadow of the Colossus.
No,
was
that
Final
wasn't
Fantasy
ever
12.
My favorite game of all time. I just said they were quite magnificent. But my favorite game of all time...
Curling.
Curling is up there, yes. But my actual favorite video game of all time is Skies of Arcadia. Tied closely with Dragon Quest VIII, which benefits me in this sense, because Level 5 has taken a page out of the Skies of Arcadia art direction playbook. And I put in Rogue Galaxy into my PS2, the demo, and I was just absolutely astonished at how like Skies of Arcadia this game looked. And I am so excited now for this because it looks and feels the environments like Skies of Arcadia. I mean, even down to the fact that in Skies of Arcadia, you flew around the world in like these colonial ships, you know, colonial era seafaring voyage vessels, you know? But in Skies of Arcadia, they flew through the sky because they had wings and whatnot. Well, in Rogue Galaxy, it's kind of the same thing, only they've taken it a step further. Now these colonial-era, like, seafaring ships can fly through space. How cool is that?
That was all in your presentation. They can fly through space.
They can fly through space. That is so cool.
In space.
Space in all capital letters, by the way. So, and what's cool is that... It's about space pirates on these ships, you know, going traveling to different planets, and that's what the story has to do with. and it's an action RPG, and you go to all these different planets, and they have each of these, like, exotic, like, wonderful-looking locations and environments. I mean, colorful and epic. There, in the demo, you can, like, walk around this village inside this jungle, and if you go towards the top, and it's a big area, too, and if you go to the top of this, like, lookout point, you look down on this just immense, like, gorge of, like, a river and this huge waterfall, and there's, like, a pyramid across the gorge. It's just absolutely beautiful, and the areas are very well detailed. They're huge. There's a lot to explore.
Nice.
It's great. And the best part is that, like Final Fantasy XII before it, Rogue Galaxy does away with the town screen versus the dungeon screen versus the battle screen. It's all one thing. So when you move from the town to the dungeon, it's no load times. And in fact, the entire game world is like this. It streams off the disc. No load times anywhere you go.
Good. On the PS2, that's hard to do.
Yes. And so it's smooth transition. And when you get into a fight, battles are random. So you can't see the enemy on the map. But it's cool the way it's implemented is that they jump out of, like, hiding spaces. Like, when you fight in the jungle, they, like, jump up from underground or out of the bushes.
Oh.
But it appears randomly. So it's like a random encounter RPG. But it's an action RPG, and so battles are all real-time with all your party members fighting at once. You control one of the characters, and you get to, you can hack and slash away. You can perform combos, perform magic, and your teammates will, you can give them, like, a general command, like, fight separately, fight together. And, you know, as the battle goes along, suggestions will pop up on the screen that are mapped to the shoulder buttons that will correspond to a spell or ability that your teammates have, so you can actually control what your teammate does. In addition to what character you're using, based on if you want to tell them to, like, heal, when the heal suggestion pops up, you hit L1 or whatever, and they'll heal. So it's really cool. The battle system is really fast-paced. It's kind of like Star Ocean, Till the End of Time, in that sense. It's really, action-packed, really quick. And the character design's really great. In fact, there's this little lizard guy who fights with, he's like a short, squat lizard who fights with a rocket launcher who sounds just like Groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons. He talks like that. He's got a kind of Irish. He's really cool. So I can't wait for Rogue Galaxy. If you want a more in-depth look at Rogue Galaxy, go to gamesarefun.com and my preview of the demo is there on the first page. It's going to be an awesome RPG. It just looks epic and it's very beautiful. It's cel-shaded like Dragon Quest VIII, but it's very detailed as well. The characters are all very well detailed. It's going to be an awesome game. That's pretty much... It's going to be awesome, and it comes out January 31st, I believe, so look for that next month. It's going to be like, that and Dawn of Mana are going to be the last good PS2 RPGs, and maybe Persona 3 as well. So.
Now, isn't Rogue Galaxy coming out for the PS3 or 362?
I don't believe so. I think it's PS2 only.
For some reason, I thought it was coming out for one of the new ones.
And the good thing is that if the US version of Rogue Galaxy, the developers have added just a ton. They've actually had to change the DVD from single layer to dual layer.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they add, like, a whole new planet?
They added
like
a whole new planet complete with its own, like, mini plot and side quest and things like that. They've added items, upgrades to the characters, all sorts of crazy stuff for the US release. This is, as the developers are saying... the definitive version of Rogue Galaxy.
So. Oh, well, good. It's like a director's cut.
Yeah. Rogue Galaxy director's cut kind of thing. So.
So.
Rogue Galaxy, January. Check it out, and we will have a full review for you as well.
Awesome.
That'll about do it for this week. Thanks for listening. Once again, go to the website, pressstart.thefighting.org, and you can email us, even though the next time Press Start will be on the air will be Wednesday, January 10th, which is the first week of Cal Poly's winter quarter here on KCPR 91.3 FM, San Luis Obispo. And we hope you have a wonderful Christmas. You know, bust out the Yule logs and sing carols and have fun. And
get loaded up on eggnog and play video games.
Yes. It's a wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time of the year, as they say. So, happy holidays. He's Dave Hampton. I'm Justin Vecino. Game over. It's that time again, the Press Start post show, and today we've got an episode of video game crossovers.
That's supposed to be kind of do.
Dave, I expect to see many of these ideas come through your wonderful C-sharp coding skills onto XNA.
Oh, I gotta learn how to make it first.
All right, well,
let's get
right down to the titles of some of these. So, I'll let you start. Let's go.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Well, so, you were talking about Skies of Arcadia, and I just made a curling joke, and it just occurred to me, you know, what a great game it would be if you could fly your hockey team around on, you know, sky moves from island to island to compete against the other team. You could call it Skies of Canadia.
Skies of Canadia, and my idea for this was it's a hockey game, but in between games, instead of having like a franchise mode or a dynasty mode, you know, where you like manage players and things like that, it actually becomes a flight sim where you have to fly a moose. You have to fly an actual moose and like shoot down like, you know, American airplanes on your way to like the next. To the next hockey game.
We should stay up all night some night and just like write down the most ridiculous ideas like this we can think of and then promise ourselves we'll make this game.
Skies of Canadia is just brilliant. Okay.
Well, thank you.
So speaking of dynasty mode, you mentioned that...
Oh, well, yeah, I thought it'd be fun. You know, we have all your sports teams from your various dynasty modes and all your different games. Put them together, make them fight. Call it Dynasty Mode Warriors.
Dynasty...
You have all your, you know, your hockey teams are running out with the sticks, like beating the snot out of everybody.
Dynasty
mode. The polo people come in on horseback.
And the water polo people come in on drowned horses.
With the water. Water polo with horses and clubs and flotation devices.
Dynasty mode warriors.
See,
that could be a
lot
hit.
Of sports games and, you know, video games these days. That's because they don't make stuff like this.
Dynasty mode. Yeah, you had like Mutant League football and stuff. I want my dynasty mode warriors. I want like poorly voice acted like sports players running around on the battlefields of ancient China like disemboweling one another. That is the ultimate sport, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, man, I never played Mutant League football. I heard some rumor that it was coming to Live Arcade or the Wii Virtual Console or something.
Something like that I heard as well. All right, so check this out. While we're on the subject of video game crossovers, I was thinking the other day, you know, I've been playing Children of Mana recently. So I thought of, you know, remember a couple weeks ago when I was like, House of the Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball, remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I came up with another one. This one is not video game, it's TV and video game, but check this out. How would you like to play this game? Married with Children of Mana.
What? How would that even work?
I don't know, but it makes for a damn good Photoshop, let me tell you.
Well, crack open Photoshop and make this.
Married with Children of Mana. You get to play as Peg or...
I haven't even seen that show, nor played that game.
Okay, well, anyways,
sorry.
Instead of like the kids, they could be like the kids from Children of Mana and like wield the Mana sword. And I don't really know where it would go from there, but and wacky hijinks would ensue. Of course.
You get points every time something's wacky.
Wacky. So, once again, if you've got good video game crossovers, go ahead and send them our way. PressStartKCPR@gmail.com.
Or just bad puns involving the titles. I love those.
Yeah, those are good, too. Those are quite good, too. I'm apparently, if you pre-order Phoenix Wright at GameStop, you get the little finger stylus.
Oh, you were telling me about this.
You get the finger pointer stylus. There's, instead of like a stylus on the end, there's Phoenix Wright's hand pointer.
You know, I missed that on the pre-orders of the first game. I remember I actually said on this show that I was going to go pre-order it, and then I didn't, making me a liar. Fortunately, you didn't record that part, so,
Liar!
Well, actually, I guess it's recorded now. Well, I lose. But I'll probably pick it up for the second one. Watch as I don't.
You know what else is recorded, Dave?
What's that? Oh, I was thinking of the stick the finger up the giant butt. That game which you can play now with your Phoenix Wright stylus.
With your Phoenix Wright stylus, that's right. And the hole for Oonga Boonga is a little bigger than the Phoenix Wright
stylus. Oonga Boonga DS would be a terrifying game.
You just gave me, like, I don't understand.
No, I did not give you any
you
ideas.
You gave me a brilliant idea. I mean, not necessarily an Oonga Boonga game, but... Nintendo could have added another DS function where there's, like, a sensor in the stylus slot where you, like, stick the stylus
okay,
in.
Okay, we're done.
But it would have been good, Dave! Like, the touchscreen would be, like, a sensual massage,
to get someone
relaxed. You know,
you don't want them to move to Japan right now and start making games because they have a market for that.
You don't want them to clench, so you want them to get relaxed. So you know, touchscreen massage, and then you got the stylus hole for the Phoenix Wright stylus. There's a sensor on the inside, and, yeah.
Did you ever consider a career in dirty flash games?
I have now.
Well, so there's a site out there trying to make flash games for the Wii, because when the Opera browser comes out, those games will be playable with the Wiimote. The site is called Fweebird.
Weebird, I saw that.
The logo is a Wiimote with the little flame on top of it, like it's a lighter.
Like it's a lighter, yeah, I saw
it's,
that.
I think it's a bunch of Something Awful goons, amongst some other people. But
pretty cool stuff.
I think that's neat, but you know, you could make your... you've got the Wii controller is very like your Oonga Boonga Invadotron controller. And I'm sure you could do something with that. It's got rumble features. It'd be multiplayer.
I would like to see someone create a Wiimote that actually doubles as a lighter. Like, you know the part where you plug in the nunchuck? I would like them to see take that out and like flip it open and like a flame comes out. Like, you know, that'd be cool.
You would light your nunchuck on fire if you did it wrong.
Yeah, or you...
Yeah, there's an immersion factor for games. Your character lights on fire, so do you.
Flame feedback.
Wow, lawsuits. I mean, they're already getting in trouble for having the Wiimotes, you know, being flung into TVs and into, you know, pets and children and stuff like that.
Speaking of force feedback that, like, maybe didn't make the cut, I remember when I was in fifth grade, my friend designed... He didn't design, but he thought of this, like... That was when Mortal Kombat was popular. He thought of, like, this force feedback system for the Mortal Kombat arcade game where, like, you stick a needle into your vein when you play Mortal Kombat. And every time you get hit, like, it, like, vibrates so it makes blood squirt out of your vein.
That's genius. We'll be millionaires.
And the first person to faint loses.
That's, I don't think you'll see any, you know,
you're absolutely,
anytime soon.
You're absolutely horrified over here. You're just like...
Well, I'm thinking, like, those joysticks in arcades are nasty enough just for people going in there not washing their hands. We don't need to add to this. The buttons get all sticky and gross.
Can you imagine the needle just all crusty? BYON, right?
This is why we do this in the post-show. Because at our core, we're terrible people. And these are the sorts of things we think of. We apologize to the live audiences every once in a while when we let it slip.
God, your face.
But the rest of you,
so horrified.
The rest of you who hear this on the internet, it's your own fault. Sorry. Nothing we can do about it.
Okay. I don't think we could ever top that. This is my favorite post show.
Top is the word we're looking for. So anyway, however, that would make a great be a great mini game in some other game.
Developer, I want to see this on XNA.
I want to see this show up on a show like House. You know, some guy was playing some alternative video game, and that's why he's hospitalized.
Oh boy, I
love video games.
I love video games too. Such a distinct possibility for creation. In any case, that was our post show. Have a Merry Christmas. We'll see you around in January of 2007 with a Best of 2006 show with our picks for games of the year.
And I can't promise that we won't update the website sometime in between, so, you know.
Check it out.
Stop in.
PressStart.thefighting.org. Thanks for listening.